Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, and today we're taking a look at the minor prophets of the Old Testament and asking God to speak to us through His Word. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 45 of the Minor Prophets. We are continuing our study of Habakkuk with a devotional this morning titled Conversations with God. Max Lucado once said, "Don't worry about having the right words. Worry more about having the right heart. It's not eloquence he seeks, just honesty." Our text for today is from Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You, who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet. For by them he lives in luxury, and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever?" This is the second set of queries from Habakkuk to God. In the previous verses, verses 5 through 11, God gave Habakkuk the shocking news that the barbaric Babylonians would be the ones he would use to bring judgment on the nation of Judah. Habakkuk is shocked, confused, and filled with questions. This conversation with God is filled with the prophet's honest bewilderment. Tim Shenton provides a concise overview and brief comparison to Habakkuk's earlier conversation. Habakkuk's complaint is divided into three parts. There's a statement of faith in chapter 1, verses 12 and the beginning of 13, in which the Lord's universal justice and holy character are exalted. The prophet still trusts in God despite his perplexity. Then Habakkuk questions the mode of judgment in the light of apparent contradictions between experience and God's nature. That's from the second part of 13 through verse 17. These questions do not indicate a shaken or feeble faith on the part of the prophet, but rather a genuine confidence in the character and works of the living God. Not a weak faith, but a perplexed faith torments Habakkuk. Finally, he waits for God to answer, and that's in chapter 2, verse 1. All is done boldly and with reverence. There are a few similarities between this section and chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. The prophet calls to the Lord, that's verse 2 and verse 12, and asks questions, that's verses 2 and 3, 13 and 17. The wicked oppress the righteous, that's verse 4, and also in verses 13 through 17. Injustice prevails, verses 3 and 4, and verse 13. And hope is expressed, verse 2 and verse 12. Habakkuk begins by describing the character of God, that's verse 12 through the beginning of 13. He calls God twice by his covenant name, Yahweh, and proclaims that he is everlasting God. Habakkuk continues with a focus on the holiness of God while also calling God the Rock. Habakkuk reminds himself that God is set apart in his righteousness and is the God of strength and stability. Habakkuk centers on God's name and nature to find a firm foundation from which he can sort out the news that's perplexing him. This is an excellent lesson for us to follow. When we struggle to understand what God does, we should first remind ourselves of who he is. In verse 13, Habakkuk struggles with God's silence. It doesn't make sense to Habakkuk that God would allow wicked men to destroy those who are more righteous. The prophet is overwhelmed with confusion. Does God not care? Is he not going to defend his people? Why does it seem like God doesn't speak against the sins of the Babylonians? Habakkuk uses a fishing metaphor to describe his feelings toward God in verses 15 through 17. To Habakkuk, God appears to be ruthlessly capturing people in a net, similar to the way fishermen trap innocent fish for consumption. This colorful imagery is Habakkuk's way of anguishing over what he believes is God's injustice. We must remember that at this point in our study, we don't have Habakkuk's conclusion yet. Over the next few days, we will discover that his struggle draws him closer to God with a deeper trust in him. But now, his struggle is real, and we can all relate. The truth we should discover at this point in Habakkuk's prophecy is that when we are confused, we need to have honest conversations with God, knowing that only he can straighten out our misunderstandings. In times of great struggle, we need to renew our focus on the character of God. Some questions to consider. Why is it essential that Habakkuk begins the second conversation with God by repeatedly calling God by the name Yahweh? What character traits of God do you focus on when you struggle with doubt? Why do you think Habakkuk compared who was more righteous when he struggled with God's judgment? In what ways do you fall into the same comparison trap when you question God's actions? Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.